I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, this is David, and welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys, if this is the starting bit. Bit of a treat for you listeners, bit of a different thing going on, which is this edition of Stalking Time for the Moon Boys is Stalking Time for the Moon Boys on the move. It's a road trip.
Amazing.
We are in Tim's car.
Hello.
There's Tim.
I've got my eyes on the road, so yeah. I can't really talk.
I mean, when I say like it's a road trip, you might have been thinking immediately, oh wow, are they on the Highway 101 between LA and San Francisco? But no, we're on the North Circular.
We're currently on the North Circular, yeah. Coming up to the junction with the A40 and the A12.
Yeah, with Chingford and Walter Maverick.
That's it, yeah. Which Chuck Berry didn't set to music, I don't think.
No, and if we come off now, there's some industrial and retail parks that might be great. But we are, quite excitingly, on the way to Tim's house. I don't know, it might be his fifth or sixth house that he owns.
It's I'm not going to comment on that, because
right.
That is private information.
Okay.
But are you going to reveal where it is? Because it's...
I don't know, you want me to or not? I think we have to.
Well, it's in Suffolk.
Do you want someone to say Suffolk?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to...
Oh, I see, they literally... Oh, yeah, you could say where it is, yeah.
Okay, we're on our way to Warberswick, which is a lovely village I've never been to.
I think if our listeners want to visit, I'd like them to visit one at a time.
Yeah, so, well, that probably will happen, as there's only about seven of them. I think you'll probably organise it over
actually,
a weekend.
Actually, they can all come at once.
Yeah, it'll be fine. And Warberswick is a village in Suffolk by the sea, and it's... very nice. And I'll let you into a little showbiz secret here, which is quite a lot of media and TV people have second homes there, and I've never been.
Never been invited to Warberswick.
I'm pretty showbiz, but this is the final nail in my showbiz coffin.
Yeah.
I'm finally going to Warberswick, and we're going there, and we decided to do a Stalking Time for the Moon Boys sort of on the move. Yeah. So we're going to get there, and Tim has learnt from our elves how to record the podcast, but I'm just doing this on my phone.
Yeah,
this is in the car.
This is the reportage, the gonzo sort of collector's edition stuff.
Yeah.
And then when we get there, yeah, we're going to do it properly.
1 2 2 2 2 Is that still coming through?
Yeah.
Okay, so you speak.
And I can speak. Okay.
Here we are. I think we've already introduced it. In my mind, we've already introduced it in the car.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say hello. I'm not going to give you the opportunity, which you, actually in the car you weren't able to do, of crashing the
hello
like you like to do. Yeah. I mean, it's fine for you to do it now.
Yeah.
But basically, that moment's gone.
That moment has gone.
Yeah. So now we're in your house in Warberswick.
Now I can tell already that it's going to sound echoey because it's a house that hasn't got carpets yet. Too much detail. This room will never have carpets in.
Okay.
Wood floors.
Okay. But I don't know. I think you should have at least a rug.
I think there will be a rug, and I think there'll be curtains, which will help.
That would help. If we ever do it here again.
Yeah.
Curtains, a rug, maybe Ace, your dog, would be here, and some of it would bounce off him.
I think a dog absorbs sound. I think we use Ace as a sound absorber.
Yeah.
I was thinking then, but it didn't quite come quick enough. I'm not sure there's anything that you said curtains. And I say, I can't tell you how many times people have said I'd really like it to be curtains for the Stalking Time for the Moon Boy. There was something in...
Yeah, see, what you've done there is that thing that one does occasionally, which is like you can't think of a joke quick enough, and so you just describe the map of the joke in the hope that people will think that's funny.
Yeah.
They never do.
Making Big Brother all those years ago, the big lesson about that, I think, was always
showing... Apart from the way that you destroyed... many sort of moral and ethical structures in our society.
Well, it doesn't sound like they were very firm structures then.
That's true.
It's probably best they were tested and we should get some new ones. Is that you should show your workings.
Right.
You know, if something's going wrong, just show it going wrong. Yes. That's much, people like that.
They enjoy, I agree with that.
They enjoy seeing that.
And indeed,
stuff.
If you see the trajectory from the first Big Brother to Love Island, then you can see, as I say, the whole moral and ethical map going wrong.
I tell you what's really difficult.
Show the workings of that, perhaps in a book.
I tell you what's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
This happened to me yesterday. I found myself not having to say, but it felt natural to say, because Pippa, my wife, had said something. And I said, well, maybe. And then I was going to say, whatever it was.
Right.
It's really, really... I think it's impossible not to say, well, maybe, like you're about to sing, you're going to be the one that saved me.
Right.
I think it's almost...
Why have you brought that up?
Because I just remembered that happened last night.
Right. Not relevant to what I was saying at all.
No, sorry. No, well, I think I was about to say maybe.
Right.
And then I thought, it's really hard to say... Mm. You say, if I want you to say, well, but I'm going to just say... So, David, I wonder whether... Actually, the way we should do this is we should go to the beach in a minute and then go to the pub.
Well, maybe.
You're going to be the one, isn't it?
I mean...
I feel like they've owned
I that. Don't know that I'm enough of an Oasis head. I quite like Oasis, but I don't know if I'm someone who instinctively... Because normally, with almost any accidental framing of words that sounds like a song...
Right,
that is in my head all the time, so, but maybe it's not there at the front of my head, but it is there. Mm. I will have to say the song.
Yes, right.
And I don't know if I don't. Well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know if I do need to say Wonderwall. I don't have to go to Wonderwall.
I think it's about the pacing of it.
It's partly because I'm not absolutely sure that I would know instinctively that it's you're going to be the one that saves me.
Okay, right, yeah.
I think I'd have to think about it for a second, and by that time, I wouldn't want to say it.
Well, maybe. It just sounds like that is the song.
Right, right. You say well maybe quite a lot though. I mean one does in one's life.
Yeah, right. Well, not the word you say most is the.
Yeah, I know that.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing that.
No, is it? That, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
And the second one is...
Okay, so my son told me something about this which I won't be able to express.
Right.
Some incredible fact about... language, which is that the word most used is most used, and the second word most used is 50% less used. Like, all languages.
It's a market leader by a long way.
No, it's exactly 50% less used.
Oh.
In what you would have thought was a completely random pattern language, it's like exactly less, 50% less.
How do they measure that?
I don't know. My son told me this, and I thought it can't be true, and it is true. Like, whatever the most used word is in English, let's say it's the, right? It's used the most, and, like, the second most used one is a. That'll be 50%
less. That's amazing. So, I've just Googled it.
Yeah. It's not true.
Well, no. What I want to say is, I don't know what I've Googled, but I can tell you this.
Yeah.
This is headed, the 10 most used words in English.
Okay.
So that feels where we're at.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll guess a single one of them.
Really?
Yeah. So just try.
The.
No.
It's not the.
No.
The isn't one of the most used words in English.
Right.
So it can't be true.
I think what I'm trying to say is, this is a lot more about what I've Googled, because I don't know what I've Googled.
Okay, shall I go more left field than that then?
You need to.
Okay, sprout.
Okay, you're in the right area. This is, and I should say, this is
egg
headed.
Eggnog.
This is, you're in the right area. Your egg is good, because the 10 most used words in English, it's right, I can tell you what they are. The first
dog
one,
shit.
The first one is omelette.
That's obviously not true.
Obviously
not true.
I'm not arguing this is true. I'm more baffled about what I've landed on. It says not the 10 most used words in English in 1936 in Worthing.
Yeah.
It's 10 most used words in English. Omelette.
Yeah.
Cafe.
Right.
Restaurant.
No, that's obviously not true, is it?
Picnic.
Yeah, these are all
bon
food
appetit.
Ones. Have you noticed they're all
no,
food
I
ones?
Think I've worked out what it is.
Yeah.
Hors d'oeuvre,
yeah.
Vinaigrette.
Okay.
Don't you think it's...
10 most ordered things in...
No. You can see, I'm showing you, 10 most used words in English. It's not... But I think, isn't it the 10 most...
It does say that. Can I just tell you, listeners, it does say that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you Google something and you haven't actually gone to the sort of list and clicked on anything. It just comes up automatically. So is that... So there must be other information.
Do you know what I think it is?
What?
Again, to remind you, omelette, aperitif, café, restaurant, picnic, bon appétit, hors d'oeuvre and vinaigrette.
Well, it's a very, it's a tea shop,
all
possibly where we are in Warberswick. It's their list of most used words, maybe 27 years ago.
All used more than the. I think it might be the top 10 words in English that have French origin.
Okay, possibly, yes.
You see what
I mean? Is that correct?
No, I don't know, because it just...
Click on it and you'll find out.
10 most users...
You know you can click on it, right?
Okay. This is brilliant. So I've gone onto the website,
which
is headed, as I'll show you. It's like a magic
10 most used word in English, okay.
I was wondering what the 10 most common words used in everyday English were. It's not getting any better for this. It's not got an author of it. Both written and spoken, and if learned, whether it would make the process of learning English simpler.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as it seems. When you talk about food, it says, so it's about in English, you're almost guaranteed to use French words. Here are the most common words. Omelette, aperitif, cafe, restaurant.
Yeah, so, but it does, we're talking about French food words in English.
That's what it's saying.
Yeah. I'm slightly surprised, even within this subset, and it is a subset, now, that cafe isn't used more often than omelette.
I fully agree. By the way, in the same article, see if you can guess this, it says some German, the most common German words we use in English.
Hitler.
I think it's a German word.
No, it's a German name. Most commonly what German word?
There are four of them, the classic rule of four. Okay. Can you get...
German word in English.
There's one of them I'm not sure about.
Wurst? Probably not.
No, I mean, there's a place where you might buy Wurst.
Munich.
Right.
That is a German word.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's not used that often.
Well, no, I think the German word is München, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You mean a place where you, like a delicatessen?
Food. Yes, delicatessen.
Is that a German word?
Well, that's what it's saying, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, Essen. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. If this table moved without you touching it, it would be a...
Poltergeist. All right.
Breed of dog.
Dachshund.
Very good. And a type of food which...
Wurst.
No. That's why... is this really German?
Sausage. Sausage German.
No, it's, for me, it's a Jewish... I'd associate with a New York Jewish...
I should know this.
Food.
Yeah.
It's sort of almost too obvious.
Yeah, I mean...
No, it's like... It's even... It's really obvious.
Oh.
It's a bread-based thing.
Challah.
No, yeah. You're going too...
I've gone too Jewish.
Yeah, it's...
It's a bread-based thing.
Yeah, it's just... You get them in everywhere. Tesco, Sainsbury's...
Bagel.
Yes. Is that German?
Yeah. It will be German, yeah. You know a lot of Jewish things are German.
Yeah, that's true. Finally, the Japanese words. Well, you get those.
I don't think we should do this. Because what you're doing is, you're changing this podcast into a guess the language words used in English, mainly about foods. And that's a good podcast. I mean, I'm sure lots of people would enjoy that week after
By
week.
The way,
but that's really... It's
do you fancy another omelette? It's amazing how it
Can I just
scattered.
Say, the really part of what surprises me is I don't really like omelettes. I don't really get omelettes. As somebody who likes eggs...
Why do you say it all the time, then?
I like eggs, right? I like fried eggs, I like poached eggs. I just want to tell you something before we carry on.
Yeah.
This morning, I was doing some virtual reality on my headset. On my, what's it called, headset?
Oculus?
Oculus, thank you. On my Oculus headset. And an extraordinary thing happened, which is, I just downloaded a tennis game, which is actually really good.
Okay, you're playing tennis in a virtual world.
In a virtual world.
With a racket?
Well, not with a real racket.
Okay.
With a virtual racket and a virtual ball.
Okay.
But you do have to move your arms.
So it's like a Wii. It's like the Wii was, like one of those.
Much better than the Wii.
Right, much better.
Although it's interesting you say the Wii, because that is almost Nostradamus-like in terms of what happened. So, so I was playing it, and in my study at home, where I was playing it, I have a toilet, and I wasn't in the toilet, but I was quite near the toilet.
Right.
I've slightly given away the punchline, but never mind. And I had to hit in the virtual reality world. Quite a big, ball was coming at me, and I had to really swing for
it. Well, they have massive balls. They change the shape of the ball. You mean?
No. Did I say big ball?
Yeah, you said you had a massive.
No, what I meant was
hit
I just
hard
had.
At you.
Yeah, I just had to swing my arm quite a lot to make this shot.
Got it.
And I did that, and I you've never done virtual reality?
No.
Right,
so
one of the things that, if you're a bit lazy with virtual reality, you don't really think about what's actually around you in real life.
I see.
You're supposed to check. It had, in fact, said to me, do check. Right. It says this, do check around you so that you're not going to hit anything while you're... But I hadn't done. I just thought it'll be fine.
Right.
And so I did this big smash or whatever. As I did it, the controller that I was using hit some corner of a wall somewhere, flew off my hand, and I then took the mask off and thought, where the fuck has that gone? Couldn't find it for ages. I found it in the toilet. An amazing thing. It actually spun out of my hand and landed plop in the toilet.
That's advantage you, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, but it worked afterwards. I actually had to fish it out of the toilet, and it actually worked afterwards.
Is the best place, in the example of a tennis game, when you look at your surrounding, is the best place to do that on a tennis court then?
Best place to do what? Play virtual
play
reality?
Virtual tennis.
No, and I think you should play tennis. If no, you're on a tennis court, I would play tennis.
Right, but if you want the perfect reality, surroundings, that you're not going to bash into things, it would be on a tennis court, wouldn't it, where you played that, I presume?
Right. You're raising a philosophical question here, which is virtual reality basically best suited to reality?
Yeah.
That's the question you're asking there.
That probably is.
That's too difficult a question. I disagree. No, I think you'd feel...
Just turning onto the M11 now. For
yeah, if you'd gone to all the trouble of hiring a tennis court just to play Oculus tennis on it, I think you'd feel a bit of a chump.
Yeah.
No, all you need is probably a bit more space to wave your arms around than I was giving myself at that particular moment.
But you really enjoyed it, and
I enjoyed it until that happened, and then I thought I'd broken my controller, but I hadn't, so I'm going to do it again.
I think the other thing is worth saying for.
I thought about saying, by the way, then I thought it was just too horrible. No, I don't think I don't think it's game set match at all unless I actually shit on it.
Right.
Game shit and match.
Okay.
But it's just horrible.
Yeah. No. That is. Well, it's a good job you didn't say that.
Yeah. Good job.
That also means poo. Well done. The other thing that our viewers, listeners might not know or want to know is that in my car, we've got loads of things, because the house is, we're doing the house up, we haven't sort of properly moved in yet. So I've got all sorts of bits of furniture and chairs in the back of the car, and we're going to be moving it in, which you seemed a bit upset about.
Well, thank you for setting up that. I was going to bring that up.
So we just ate some crisps.
Yeah, they were nice.
From Nova Shop. Do you know what they were flavoured with?
Beer, some Suffolk beer.
Yeah, that's
hauntingly good, beery flavoured crisps, Ghost Ship Adnams.
From Adnams, it's a local South brewery. Yeah, okay. It's a local brewery, and the crisps were flavoured with it.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy those?
I quite enjoyed them, I mean, I don't drink anymore, as you know.
Yeah.
And so, if I was actually an alcoholic, which I'm not, I might worry that eating Adnams beery crisps would set me back on the road. To waking up.
Can I say
on the wasteland?
I think it's Adnams. You're saying it like a character in Grange Hill.
Adnams. Is it Adnams?
Adnams.
Is it? Yeah. It's not Adnams. Yeah.
No, it's not Adnams.
Okay. Are you sure? You're just saying that because
you're... I promise you it's Adnams.
I mean, you've only just bought a house here. I don't know that you're the absolute oracle on how to pronounce Adams.
Well, except that Adams. I can tell you, when you buy a house here, one of the things they test you on is your pronunciation of local.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I had a Bowie thing that I was going to bring, and I forgot, which was I was recently in Helsinki.
Right.
On a sauna trip of Finland. And while I was there, I bought a copy of Angie Bowie's biography, or autobiography. And I thought that would be great for the road trip.
Hmm.
But it'll be great for another podcast, because I've forgotten
it. You haven't
got it. I've forgotten it. I did have a lovely time in Finland.
You're telling me you went... into some very icy, you went very hot and then you went very cold.
Just straight from the sauna into the sea.
Right.
One thing so people are a bit confused about something. I think about saunas, pronounced sauna, that's like Adnan.
Right.
In Finland, you'd have to say sauna.
Right.
Which is, I think people immediately think, oh, it's Scandinavia, it's a sauna, he must have been naked with a lot of naked people.
Okay, I didn't think that, but thanks for giving me that image.
That's what a lot of people assume. That's Germany, actually. In Germany, not only would you have a delicatessen and a bagel, you would also have a naked sauna, and it's considered a very bad form to go into the sauna, or whatever, how they pronounce it in Germany.
Sauna.
Yeah, I think they actively take your trunks off if you go in. Whereas Finland, it's generally, certainly in a mixed sauna, you keep your shorts on. However, I was in one particular sauna, really beautiful, on an island off Helsinki called Lona, with a view of the sea outside, where it wasn't a mixed sauna and there were two men in there completely naked. And here's the point I wanted to make, which is I have no problem being in a sauna with naked men, except when they cross their legs.
Oh.
Because at the point when men naked cross their legs, and I've noticed a lot, is often what you get is a sort of testicle fit to burst look going on under the inner thigh. And
squeeze tea bag.
Yeah, sort of thing. And this man this happens to me a lot, right. So, as you know, I've talked about this before, I get recognised quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because I've got a very recognisable face.
Yeah.
And I like saunas. And generally, if I go into a hotel sauna in Britain, within about a minute, a big bloke who's nearly naked, will come up to me and say, it is you, isn't it? Or possibly it's coming home or something
right,
like that.
Right.
And I don't mind that normally, but when you're naked or near naked and sweating and trapped, that's a little bit self-conscious making. But I thought I'd get away with it in Finland, but no.
Really?
A Finnish man said to me, are you who I think you are? And then I said, I don't know who you think. And he said, are you that comedian? And then he said, I lived in, I think he said Farnborough for 10 years. Anyway, all this would have been totally fine were it not for the fact that he was naked and crossing his legs.
And
I just thought, it's not going
to... By the way, just to stop, there's a pheasant walk behind you. That's just quite a comfy sight.
That's part of the joy.
That's lovely. Look, there's a pheasant just outside the window.
Is that a pheasant or a partridge?
No, it's definitely a pheasant walking through the garden. So, so he had the squeeze tea bag.
I don't think of it as a tea bag. I think of it as... It's sort of like the surface of a planet, but when you look like some eruption's about to happen on that planet. Do you know what I mean? Because like sometimes you see from space, I mean like not actually in space, but on some program, it will show you like Mars during a dust storm.
I see.
Or something like that. Right. And you'll see like what will, on the testicle be a vein, but on Mars will be like a river that's about to burst its banks or whatever.
Because I don't want to get...
It looks a bit like that.
Not get too sort of bodily related, but it did occur to me the other day that when you cross your legs, you do often trap the testicle.
Yeah.
And I was sort of wondering why that isn't painful.
Yeah, well, that's the point, is I know I'm a man and I have the same genitals as the man, the Finnish man.
Not actually the same.
Not exactly the same, but the same basic genitals, structurally, as the man who lived in Farnborough, might have been Framlingham, which is a completely different part of the country. Quite near here, possibly. Isn't he in Framlingham?
It's Suffolk, I think. Yeah.
And I know he's not in pain, but when I'm on the other side of it and the testicle does look quite squeezed, it looks painful, and so it troubles me. It's hard to do small talk while that's going on.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So Tim called me, last week and said, do you want to come to Warberswick and we could do a podcast on the way? And I thought, that sounds like a good idea. And then he arrived at my house in his car, and I get in the car, and it's quite difficult to get in the car with my bag and whatever, because there's loads of stuff in the bag. Yeah. And it turns out, essentially, he's hired me, but for no money, as a removals guy. I am going to be helping him shift a lot of boxes into his house in Warberswick. Like, I think you used this example, a PG Tips chimp. I'm going to be saying at some point, cooey, Mr. Shifter.
What's that?
Do you not know the PG Tips advert?
Yeah, but
there's a bit where this is my favourite bit of it.
Oh,
where the landlady comes out,
and
the removals guy and his son are trying to get a piano down the stairs.
Yeah, remember that.
And she comes out and says, "Cooey, Mr. Shifter, would you like a cup of tea?" So his name is Mr. Shifter.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they drum it home because I think you might see a van that says Shifter and Co. Beforehand.
Right.
And then he has a cup of tea and the piano falls downstairs. And then his son says, "Dad, you know, the piano's on my foot." He says, "You are me and I'll play it."
That's
I've done the whole advert.
Oh, I completely remember that now. Yeah. That's right. So it wasn't just visual humour, was it?
Oh, there was many, much going on.
It was written, yeah.
I mean, when you actually watch it, a PG Tips advert, which I have done quite recently, because I like those adverts, even though no doubt they've been being terrible to the chimps. I mean, this is something I think very deeply. And I've written about it in my new book about atheism, which is, we are really animals. I mean, we're so animals.
Right.
And the way you can make that clear is by looking at animals.
Right.
Who really do a lot of stuff like us and have really similar faces to us.
Yeah.
And bodies and hands and all sorts. Yeah. But this has been clear for a while because the PG Tips adverts were from the 1960s and 70s.
And they really got it.
I mean, really, they're like people.
Yeah.
Those monkeys.
Well, they are...
I mean, they can speak for a start.
and they write quite tight little comedy sketches.
Yeah.
No, they are very simple, except they're nowhere near as good, are they? For example, I don't think they have music in their life. Do they? They don't sort of...
What are you talking about? He plays... Do you know the piano's on my foot?
That's true.
He plays it very well.
That's true. No, they do have music in them. Yeah, so no, they are almost identical.
Anyway, I shall be doing the Cooey Mr. Shifter job for Tim when we arrive.
I'm really appreciative of it.
And he hasn't offered me any money or whatever.
No, but we can have a cup of tea. Is that what they did? They had a cup of tea to celebrate. Was that basically the thought behind the ad?
They can't get the piano down the stairs.
So
the woman comes out and just offers him a cup of tea, so he thinks down tools, cup of tea.
Yeah.
And then the piano falls down the stairs.
Right.
That's the sketch, really. And really, do you know the piano's on my foot is the kind of coda.
Got it.
It's the sort of topper.
Right. By the way, we actually have, I happen to know, the one thing I know about the house is that we have PG tips in the house, so we can...
If only you had the PG tip chips in the house, I'd be made.
Well, I kind of do with you.
That's true.
The other thing that's happened today, my daughter Ava, as you know, because she phoned, is moving house.
Yeah.
Moving student house today.
Yeah.
And she phoned, she's a bit stressed about it, and she phoned to say that one of the things that she's discovered as she gets a, is there's moths in the house. And I said, oh, it's you know, I think this is what you say. Where as soon as someone says that, you say, be careful, because you'll take them with you. You know, that seems to be, the, you'll take them, you know, because their eggs are in your clothes.
Right.
And she didn't really realise that's what they did, destroy clothes. She looked it up and she found that moths don't have mouths.
Really?
So they don't have mouths.
So how do they eat clothes?
Right. And honestly, I don't know is the answer. I mean, it's a bit like your tennis. There is no punchline other than say, I don't really get.
Then
tennis
one did have a punchline. It had a punchline, which is, it landed in the toilet.
Okay,
you said that's as hard as you. I didn't say the thing about game, shit and match. Right. But all that is punchline.
Okay, well, this one definitely, because I don't know the answer to it. Other than, I now feel...
Do they just eat via a different part of their bodies?
It could be that, but also, I now feel moths are much more sinister than when I was before I was told they don't have mouths.
Okay.
I once went to a pub, a party in Farnham, and it was a friend's birthday, and it was in Farnham, and I'd realised that nobody had sort of talked about how you get home. It was a long way from where I lived. I think I was probably still living at home, I was like 18 or so. And what it turned out was it was one of those mythical things that sounds brilliant but was terrible, which was, it was a lock-in in this pub, but that basically went so far that you slept in the pub, not in a room, in the bar, because he knew... I think there's a theatre school in Farnham, so it was something to do with the theatre, and so they had a relationship with the pub, and they'd always go there after putting plays on, and there was a certain point, even at 18, I thought, God, this is just terrible,
sounds horrible.
At a certain point, people just started lying down on the floor.
Yeah, although you did that a lot in the old days.
Yeah.
I would sleep, and now I find it very difficult to sleep anywhere. Actually, I think I did when I was young. I have always been an insomniac. Despite that, I would be at people's houses and I would accept that I am just sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, yes.
Although I remember once being at a New Year's Eve party. This is very funny, but I remember it as a very clear memory. And I thought, oh, it's going to be terrible, I'm not going to get any sleep. And I found so many cushions. I went around the house and found cushions everywhere.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think anyone else did this, that I was really comfy.
You squirreled them away. And,
basically, must have been quite selfish of me, although I don't think anyone else was bothered, because everyone else was a teenager who, unlike me, was a teenager just go to sleep. Mm. But I remember that being one of the most comfortable times of my life, was just on the cushions of that floor.
Do you think it's... Because you think a lot about sleep, or lack of sleep. There was this... I don't know if you're watching Sherwood, which is this...
I've seen two episodes, okay. So no spoilers.
But some... I can't remember if it's in the first... I don't think it spoils it, even if you haven't seen this, but might have been in the first two episodes. It has that familiar trope of a policeman, in this case, who's determined to solve
David
the case.
Morrissey.
Well, no, I think it's
the other one.
The other guy.
Yeah.
And he's, in fact, I know it is.
Michael Glenister.
That's him. Michael Glenister?
Well, it's not Philip Glenister. Yeah, I know. It's another Glenister.
Yeah, I think it's him.
Yeah.
And he's determined to solve the case, so he's working overtime looking at photographs, and the next scene is he's woken up asleep on his desk.
Right.
And David Morrissey comes in and says, God, you're putting the hours
in. Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm sort of thinking, is that... Of course it's possible to nod off at your desk. Is it possible to sleep 4 or 5 hours leant over at a desk if you're tired enough?
How do you know it was 4 or 5 hours?
Well...
Had the light change?
Yes, I think you got the sense that it was the next morning.
Oh, the next morning?
Yeah. Could you think you could do that? No. I think you might sleep for 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not... Certainly at our age, not comfy...
Right.
You wake up, your neck starts hurting.
Have you seen your bed here?
Yes.
You're happy with it?
Well, I'm slightly worried about something, which I have already mentioned. Because, as you know, one of the things about me, and this must be an issue if you're a friend of mine, is that any form of discomfort, and even like perceived future discomfort, I will immediately express. Mm. That's the opposite of my wife, who will keep it to herself, not do that. It's like the thing I have, I'm sure we've expressed this as well, with like my wife can't understand that if I go to someone else's house, for dinner or whatever, have we discussed this? I'll often go to the toilet and have a shit if I need to do that.
Right.
Whereas she won't do that and says that apparently most people don't do that.
No, but that's definitely not something you do.
I don't do it as a sort of calling card.
Sounds a bit like you do.
No, I don't. I only do it if I need to do it, but sometimes I do need to do it. Right. And the idea of not doing it, because you don't do that at someone else's house, when there is a toilet and that's what it's for, seems to me to be entirely ridiculous.
Mm.
But that's of a piece with the fact that I can't really bear discomfort of any sort. I really wouldn't have been great in the trenches from that point of view.
So you're worried
about... Or indeed at Auschwitz, I often think. I would have been bad at Auschwitz.
Yeah, I think most people found it challenging.
Most people found it challenging, but I often think, God, you know, obviously it was absolutely appalling, but at the very, very, you know, nursery slopes of Auschwitz, the fact that you had to sleep on a plank of wood, that already I'm in hell, you know, and there's a lot worse to come. And from that point of view, I went upstairs, a nice room, not much in it, but then it's basically an unfurnished house.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. I was a bit worried about the duck feather pillows because I think I might be allergic to duck feathers. Mm. I mean, I probably should be. I definitely... That's the thing about duck feather pillows, right? Is that
duck feather unusual? Because
The point is, I mean, I don't think you'd have to be that allergic to... If it was an actual duck and you buried your face in it, I think you'd be sneezing. Most people would be sneezing, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
From that experience.
Yeah.
I mean, the duck would probably not like it.
Yeah,
but,
I see what you mean.
But, you know, it seems to me that... pheasant that just walked across. If I was to go and ask
pheasant
it,
pillow would be
ask it to lie down so that I could bury my face. Right. I think, forgetting about the pheasant, I think I'd probably think, oh no, it's a bit tickly and whatever. But apparently most people are fine with it.
I can't wait to find out about whether you're comfortable.
So, another thing that happened on the journey is that Tim made a mistake.
So we had to go off the M25 where we ended up. But I suddenly saw a sign that said Jewish Cemetery, and then I thought, oh, that's where my dad's buried. And I haven't been back to that since my dad was buried. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I didn't go back to it now, because
there was a
very long queue.
And we want to get to Walberswick, so I apologise, Colin. But still quite,
I think that's quite
extraordinary.
It's completely random.
Well, actually, I don't know if I told you this. I did a speech at my dad's funeral. Which went very well, and I repeated it on the Today programme, and I believe it was in the Sunday Times as well. So generally a success as far as funeral speeches go. Right. But I did an ad-lib right at the start, because I'd written something, but then I did an ad-lib right at the start, because the road that we're on now, we're probably going to pass it, is very, very close to the cemetery. I'm really close.
Right.
So I just got up, and I said... Well, at least it's handy for the M25. And that got a bit of a laugh, but not certainly wasn't the biggest laugh in it. I didn't regret doing it, but I thought it was all right. But then afterwards, Frank Skinner, who was there, instead of saying, good speech, Dave, whatever, in a very comedian's way, just said, I didn't get that joke about the M25. And I said, well, do you know what that road is there? And he said, no. And I said, that's the M25. And he went, oh, right. And then he got it. But as I say... I felt immediately slightly upbraided from a comedy point of view by my old mucker.
No, that would hurt. And it's a good day to really punch you, isn't it? On your dad's funeral.
Yeah, although to be fair to Frank, I think his point was comedians always have to, whatever the situation is, you have to look at things from, does that joke work or not?
What's worth just doubling down on, this is a long way from anywhere. We're not like round the corner from your house. We're about an hour away.
Yeah.
And a random wrong turning takes us to your dad's
resting
place. But... the trouble is, you can then, when you break it down, this is where people go, well, he's trying to tell you something, and you sort of think, well, what, though?
My dad.
Well, he's taken us out of our way,
which
is a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Would he do that? I suppose he might do
It implies that my dad has power over you, for a start, because you're the one who's driving, and you're the one who made the mistake to take us close to where my dad is buried. So he's got power over you, and I don't think he ever knew who you were.
No, I've never...
Because you never met him, and also, by the time you... would have met him, he had very, very advanced dementia.
But also
so he didn't remember me. Right. So if he remembered you, I'd be really quite upset.
And it implies he's physically there, like, come and see me.
Yeah.
Which is a dreadful thought. I don't believe that's what happens.
No. That seems unlikely to me that he would have thought that. To be honest with you, it seems unlikely to me that he would even want me to come and see him.
Yeah.
He hardly wanted me to come and see him when he was alive.
Well, the only interpretation is he wants to wind you up a bit.
Yeah, that's possible.
Miss a turning, which is a bit annoying, and guess what? It's me that did it.
Yeah, that's true. But it might have been all those things.
But but it's definitely proof, further proof if proof were needed, of
the existence, of an afterlife.
The existence of an afterlife and ghosts with agency.
I mean, if everyone's wondering, I didn't know until my dad died where he was meant to be buried, and he decided, it worked out that he was going to be buried here. And people generally, don't they? They have a sort of sense like, I'm going to be buried in this amazing place, in this beautiful place or whatever. Right. It's very much not a beautiful place, and I know why my dad's buried here.
Right.
What will have happened is, at some point, he will have been sent a form, probably, I think, by the synagogue they were members of, which said, 300 quid for a plot here.
Oh, right.
And he'll have said, yeah, right. that will have been it.
Right. We're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to do a quiz.
Are we?
And I'm going to say...
You haven't told me about this.
No, because it's just occurring to me.
Right.
We are basically behind a lorry with a very well-known brand on it.
Yeah.
And I think if one of our listeners can tell us what it is...
Right.
...they get a prize.
Okay, how are we going to organise that? Considering that we don't organise anything with this podcast, we virtually only just about organise recording it.
They'll get a prize.
Okay.
But you need to give a clue that doesn't give it away.
Okay.
You can see it, can't you?
Yeah. Obviously. Okay. Do you want... He's got a big clue.
Well, okay.
Piers Morgan.
Ah.
Is that... Yeah. Piers Morgan was very upset by one of its new products.
There you go.
Okay.
Piers Morgan was very upset about one of its products.
It's new products.
New products.
Yeah. So, good. What are we giving them? What's the prize?
Well, I think we need to work out... Because I was going to say we could give them one of its products, but I don't really know how we'd make that work.
And also, I think there'd be laws against that, sending their ad through the mail.
Right. I think we're definitely going to acknowledge them in some way.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping we get some kind of money from that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maybe we'll get some money from them.
Yeah.
Or maybe just some produce from them.
Yeah.
That's slightly giving away what it is, the word produce.
Yeah, okay, just you're going too near the flame all the time. You're getting drawn in.
Let's stop the quiz there.
But the motorway quiz. Good luck, everyone. And don't forget, your mobiles will be charged at your current rate, or whatever the fuck it is.
I went to Glastonbury since the last
Time. And that's involved some discomfort.
Well, it's a discomfort on obviously lots of levels.
I said, actually, I might as well quote the tweet because it went a little it went semi-viral. I think I said it positively because sometimes people get very angry. Mm. If you take the piss, which I have done in the past, out of essentially middle-aged people who go to Glastonbury, then some people get very angry and want to tell you how you know great it is or whatever in quite an aggressive way. So I was being nice, but in a slightly patronising way, I guess. And I think I said something along the lines of, when I see festivals, what I'm immediately brought to mind is the discomfort, the fact that you can't sleep, the fact that there's endless queues for the toilet.
Right.
And I thought all this when I was young, which I did. I was 27 and at Glastonbury, I thought, oh God, this is hideous, basically. So I think I ended up saying, I admire the life force of middle-aged people at these festivals, but I'd much rather be watching from my sofa. And that got a lot of likes and a lot of retweets and whatever. And not much anger. But you went.
Well, I was that person. I mean, in a way, there's a thing where people say, it looked amazing. And you find yourself saying, yes, it was amazing. And of course...
You've been before, right?
Yeah, I've been quite a few times before. And it was sort of amazing. And you know, there were sort of moments which were lovely. But mostly it's no sleep because it's really hard to sleep. We stayed on site and we were in a...
On site, it's impossible.
It's like a posh tent and everything, but it's still a tent. And you're still camping, so I found...
And there's still lots of people dancing until 5 o'clock in the morning.
All of that. But we were far enough away for that. It was just the fact we were camping and it was a bit cold.
Yeah.
And you talked about the nursery slopes of Auschwitz. I wouldn't make that comparison, but that thing about it's a bit cold is enough to break me.
Yeah.
But the thing that
You had a sleeping bag?
No, it was like duvet and all that.
Nice glamping tent.
Yeah, but it was an airbed. It was an airbed, and I think the problem with airbeds is you feel like you're on a ledge of a cliff and you're going to fall off. It just doesn't feel like you've settled.
Yeah. Also, when I was there, I had a sleeping bag, and a sleeping bag, for me, is always ruckling up in a weird way.
Yes.
Like, it's always like, oh, there's a bit of the sleeping bag
Sudden dribbling.
Yeah, you seem to be spitting all over my new table.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm so excited by my sleeping bag inside. Sudden drooling. Anyway, yeah, it sort of goes under your legs and you can't... If you move at all, suddenly the sleeping bag is essentially not a bed at all.
One of the most terrible... We have to be careful with that elbow. One of the most terrible memories I have of it is...
That's what someone said at Glastonbury to Guy Garner.
Careful with that, it's a hell of a brand you've got there, but be careful. Yeah. Is that I, for some reason... Well, maybe we just did this as dares, or is it much of a dare? Went into a sleeping bag the wrong way around.
What does it mean, the wrong way around?
Like, you crawl in. Right. So your head, is,
so
at
your
the
head
bottom,
is at the bottom.
And then someone zips it up.
Is that Escape from Farty Harbour?
It's absolutely... Yes.
It's like Escape from Farty Harbour.
Yes, but it's more... It's really absolutely all about claustrophobia.
Yeah.
It's even now, as I say, I'm getting slight palpitations. You go all the way down, your head is at the bottom of your feet, and the zip is up to your ankles.
Yeah, but you might die. If it actually gets zipped up properly, there's not a lot of oxygen in a sleeping bag.
No, I don't think you'll die, but...
No, you probably wouldn't die.
But it's really claustrophobic. And Pip at Myoff didn't do that to me at Glastonbury. That would have been a bit sort of weird at 55.
I'm not sure you had a duvet. So anyway...
But I did...
What was your main... What take or take home?
Well, I just want to divert very quickly, in case we've said this before, but... You know Mr. Jones, the chemistry teacher at my school?
Of course.
Me and two or three friends, I think we were in a sort of reasonable set. It wasn't terrible, right. But I never got on with any of those sciences and all that. And I got thrown at, I think, fourth year, was that, so 15? I got thrown out the class once for being noisy. But the fact is, I felt the reason, ironically, was we were having this discussion, my two or three friends. And the discussion, which got a bit animated, was, and I'll be interested in your views... Can you see air?
Right.
And my contention was, if I remember rightly, you can see air because the bit I can see between me and you now
is air.
That's what I'm looking at. Air. What I'm not seeing is just your face entirely in my eye. You know, you're not filling up the entire screen.
Right.
There's a thing I can see the gap between us, and that's air.
Yeah.
So you can see it.
Yeah. Okay. But my view
is that right?
My view is that air, you know what air is, right?
I mean, yeah.
It's oxygen and
nitrogen and stuff.
Whatever the other small amount of chemicals are. Yeah. Hydrogen, is it hydrogen?
Hydrogen. I think there's like a bit of, there'd be something like, not neon.
Omelette, there's a bit of omelette in it. Anyway, in a vacuum, if me and you were in a vacuum, we wouldn't be able to breathe, but forget that for a minute. It would look the same, but there'd be no air.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So what you mean
so
is...
So what's in the place of the air, then?
No air. There's no oxygen, there's no... Air is oxygen, nitrogen...
What fills the gap between us in the vacuum?
Nothing. There's nothing there.
But what's it made of?
A vacuum is nothing. Nothing. What are you saying? It's made of nothing.
So you're suggesting you can see nothing...
Yes.
Right.
Well, my point is that's really the question you were asking. Yeah. Air is a gas, basically, or a mixture of gases.
If Mr. Jones...
You can breathe.
Yeah. He should have just said that.
No, but I shouldn't, because your question wasn't really that... You'd misphrased the question.
Right.
Your question was, can you see nothing?
Mm.
That's what you should really be saying.
Yes.
And you could say, yes, I can see nothing, because otherwise there would be something... You know, my face would be... But also, your question is also wrong. Because you're also talking about light at some level.
Yep.
Because if it was completely dark, you wouldn't be able to see anything.
No.
So can you see nothing when it's dark?
There's a rabbit. I've just literally seen a rabbit. You're looking around and you can't see it. I promise you there wasn't. I wasn't just diverting.
Because you got too philosophical.
I promise you there was a rabbit.
Was it a big, like a hair?
Yeah, more like a hare.
Oh, really? It looked
like a hare.
Oh, that's exciting. This is just to remind listeners that we are in the country.
Yeah, I think it's important we keep doing the reminders.
Keep doing that. Anyway, but I think we've got as far as we can with the can you see nothing.
The only thing I'd say about Glastonbury, which I don't know if it's a new thing or not, because it's famously, as you said, the toilets are... You know, we stayed in what's called the hospitality area, which
you pay
a bit more. But there's thousands of people in it. It's not that special. And there's a rabbit there. You see it? That's a rabbit.
Oh, yeah. It's a rabbit.
It's a sweet little thing. He's come
Is
out.
That a wild rabbit?
It must be
a wild rabbit because it's not in a hutch.
Yeah, and it doesn't. Unless it's just, it doesn't look like a pet rabbit.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it looks. It's bounding. If only we could. Had a sort of live webcam for the listener.
Well, that'd be a bit like a different programme.
Yeah, that's true.
Calling it a programme, that's grand. A different kind of experience.
Now, the only thing, it's pretty obvious.
Spring Watch or something.
it's a bit obvious to talk about toilets at Glastonbury, but the only thing I'd say, reflecting on, having been there lots of times, hospitality area has quite nice toilets. I mean, it's quite nice in the sense that a first-class seat on a jumbo jet is quite nice relatively, but yeah, ultimately it's hopeless as a form of comfort, right?
Yeah.
But relative to what they were. So yeah, the hospitality toilets are relatively nice. When you find yourself in need of the loo and you're out and about, you use the normal toilets. Mm. And the thing that, I don't know if this used to be the case, is obviously they're basically plastic constructions with a hole in that,
yeah,
you go into a cesspit.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't think I've ever seen before is the cesspit was honestly about 35 feet below.
So you could see it from the hole in the toilet.
Not only can you see it in the hole in the toilet, which is not that unusual, but it was like a very, very long way down.
But hang on, could you see it around the toilet?
No, you can't see it around the toilet. It's like the whole toilet has been built, is on the ground, and then they've dug a hole.
They've dug a really deep hole.
Yeah. But
and
really
did you look
deep
down it for quite some time?
Well, the reason I looked down it for quite some time, it's almost impossible to take your eyes off it, because it was like a James Bond, like quite a low budget James Bond.
Yeah.
Where you're
James Bond and the Abyss of Shit.
Where you're looking down, and it's like the sharks are circling. But instead of sharks, they are poos.
Yeah,
seriously.
And they're not circling.
And bits of toilet paper. They're not circling, but they're slightly animate.
Yeah.
Because I think there's, well, partly because there's about, I don't know, like 60 toilet holes.
Right.
You know.
So there's a lot of shit.
So there are, well, but more than that, there are people actively using them.
Right.
So there's sort of ripples.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's stuff landing in
it. Oh.
But that's that is what's happening.
Yeah.
And some of it is people peeing. So it's like.
Yes. So there's liquid.
Yeah. And like any edge that you look over, it slightly draws you in. You sort of feel like you're being drawn in by it.
I mean, I'll tell you something, which is, sorry, I don't want to, for anyone listening, might be already too disgusted, but I think, so I've only been to Glastonbury a couple of times, maybe three times. I think it was all in the 90s.
Right.
A couple of times when I was performing at the Comedy Tent, and once when I just went with my then girlfriend, who was very into things like that.
Right.
And we did a slightly weird thing, was I was given a Ford car. And I say car, I mean K-A.
Okay.
I don't know if it still exists anymore.
I think it does, but...
Does it? It was a sort of very 90s, Ford, sort of slightly gimmicky, small car.
So that felt quite top of the range in a way?
I was really weird. Ford gave me a car. I think it's the only time I've ever...
For Glastonbury or just for life?
No, for life they gave me one. Although maybe I was meant to give it back. Maybe I did.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I drove it onto the site, supposedly to some area that I was supposed to be given, but it just sunk in the mud.
And lots of hippies had
to sort of pull it out.
Because it would be a terrible... That's the least Glastonbury-friendly car, I can imagine.
Yeah, and the whole thing was just... Anyway, I have a very faint memory of going to the toilet in the... Not in the hospitality toilets, in the public toilets at Glastonbury. And my point is this. My point is that I do remember that there was a bit of a dive to where the poo went, but I think they've made it deeper since then. I think that in those days it was just a fairly...
Oh, I see.
I reckon maybe 8 foot.
They're more conscious of it. It's an ecological thing, perhaps.
Or, there's more toilets now, so there's more because more can go. And possibly they thought, how do we make this a less unpleasant experience? One way is putting more distance between the shit and the noses of the people above.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
No, I'm sure it doesn't work, but that might be the thinking.
I think they're maybe... But what it... It's Tom Daly height. You know, it's huge.
Can you imagine Tom? That's what you've done now with that image. I've imagined
somersaulting
Tom
into
pirouetting through the air beautifully to land in some shit. That's one of our greatest athletes. You've brought that up.
But I would say the depth of it means that it goes from being a... Look, sorry about this, but this is where you've got to go. Get on with it and you move on. Into a feature, almost a celebration.
Like
almost
an installation.
I tell you what, it's like Glastonbury toilets, but in Dubai or something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like we have the deepest toilets in the world, and they're all Instagrammed, because look how deep it is.
Do you think anyone did that? Think anyone took a photo of it?
I can only say, when I saw it, and I only saw it once, because we only once used that particular, you know, used those toilets, is that I almost thought, it's almost beautiful.
Yeah.
I
mean,
stunning.
I also think it raises quite a hefty issue. I mean, this must be the case anyway, however deep it is. But anyway, about like, when everyone leaves, fuck of a lot of shit, 30 feet underground.
Yeah, well,
in a long trench, because you said there were 60 toilets.
Yeah, I don't think they cover it up, though, do they? Do they siphon it?
Do they? Siphon?
Well, I don't know.
Siphon? What does that mean?
Well, it means suck it up.
Siphon it where?
Well, don't they suck it up into what's known as honey trucks, but insert, you know.
Are they called honey trucks?
Well, I think that's the
that
sort of
that seems a really weird term for
it. Yeah, but that's the point. It's a sort of...
Right.
I believe it's almost like, you know, when the drains are being cleaned outside. I thought
honey
they
trucks
sucked it up.
Because honey means, is it ironic?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think that's what they're called, because you get them in, and I'm assuming that's what they do. I don't think they just put the soil over it.
Well, I have no idea. Well, the honey trucks take it to a sewage farm.
Break it down, I'm going to say macerate,
yeah.
I think, treat it with chemicals. I'm assuming that's what happens.
Okay.
Because then where do you have the next Glastonbury? You have to go 600 feet down to keep going until you're basically pulling
into
Australia.
I assume.
Is that what they want?
I mean, as I say, we don't want to be too toilety, although obviously this is very toilety, but quite artistic toilety.
Yeah.
Human waste is biodegradable anyway.
Right,
isn't
it? Is it? If you just leave it.
It is biodegradable.
Is it?
Yeah. I think all like animals.
Well, again, without.
And, as I pointed out earlier, I don't know if you'll get into the podcast, but as I pointed out earlier, animals are basically just us, right?
Yeah.
They're just us. So when my cat poos in the garden,
right?
The reason that's okay, although sometimes she poos next door and Jeremy, my next door neighbor, is very upset about it.
Yeah,
you do know Jeremy. He's very nice about it, but he does mention that my cats are shitting in his garden.
Okay.
And I suggest what you should build, Jeremy, is a 30-foot drop for them, and maybe a hospitality area for my very grand cat. But anyway, what I imagine is that that's not really a problem, because poo just biodegrades. It's not metal.
Well, again, we're getting slight... But is that still the case with all the processed food? And isn't that the point that there's chemical? I mean, that's cavemen. Cavemen just ate reindeer and berries.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
Yeah, although they died much sooner than us.
We've just passed a sign that says Douglas Bader Public House. Do you know what we can get there, Tim?
Legless, David.
Yeah. Okay. So the thing is, we did that spontaneously. That's what happened. I have to tell you, we did that spontaneously. I said, "Oh look, the Douglas Bader Public House. I'll tell you what you can get there." And I paused, and Tim said,
"Legless."
And it was good. And then I said, "Shall we try and do that for the podcast?" And he said, "Well, we won't be able to recreate it." And he was right. It was shit.
It was really bad. But it's good to get an update, because we've had a quite difficult journey.
Yeah.
And there was traffic jams and there was accidents and so on. And for the first time, I'm feeling like the traffic's calmed down. We're about 40 minutes away from Walberswick, the place we're heading.
Yeah.
And it feels like we're suddenly a bit more Thelma and Louise again, doesn't it? We've got the wind in our hair.
Yeah, we've got the wind.
Do you feel that?
Yeah. And any minute now, we're going to ride off a cliff.
Well, you'll find one of the joys of Suffolk,
a
bit like Norfolk, is it's quite flat and it's not really a cliff. But I know exactly what you mean.
Well, because it was a... Thelma and Louise reference.
Obviously I knew what that meant.
Yeah.
But we're feeling good, and we're feeling like we might get like an hour before we have to go to bed by the time we get there.
Yeah, it's been a long journey, to be honest. And we should have set off earlier. But, you know, we've got the Douglas Bader joke in the can.
The funny thing is, I think we've talked about this before, but when we get to the house, eventually we're going to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both going to lie horizontally on mattresses quite close to each other, with sort of walls divided between us. And then we're going to do what everyone seems to do with that question, which is just close our eyes.
Yeah, you've mentioned this before.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, isn't it?
I don't know if it's that weird. I mean, it's quite weird, but you've mentioned before your
we know what to do, though, don't we? It's part
of the weirdness of the fact that everyone goes to sleep.
It's like being a sort of rabbit in a hutch. We'll just all agree, now's the time when we lie flat and close our eyes.
Yeah, and what way is that like being a rabbit?
Well, you know, like when you sort of go around someone's house and they show you a rabbit's, oh well, he's actually sleeping now.
Right.
You know, it's like a natural thing, isn't it? We hide away, we lie down, weirdly with a pillow just to angle our neck so it's a bit uncomfortable, and then we close our eyes until it's light again.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just feels like it reduces us to...
Animals.
Yeah.
Many things reduce us to animals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.